Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audio download and a free 30-day trial at www.audibletrial.com/radmetal. Over 150,000 titles to choose for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Hey, this is John Schnepp. I just finished writing the Slayer comic. I directed Metalocalypse. I'm into metal, and you are listening to Radioactive Metal. What's up, metal fans?
Welcome to Radioactive Metal. Horns up, metalheads. This is Radioactive Metal, your source for news, views, tunes, and interviews. Here are your hosts, Snowy, Rock, and Kareem.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to "Twas the Week Before the Rammies" episode of Radioactive Metal. This is episode 439, and I'm Snowy White.
This is Rock.
And I'm Kareem.
Hey, bro and bro, what's going on?
Well, as we speak, the holidays are here.
You know? Okay.
It's like, damn, the year went by so fast.
Yeah, it doesn't even feel like Christmas for us here in Florida.
Yeah, no. God, it's like the weather is like, it's you know, freezing record colds everywhere in the U.S. And then you look at the map and here, it's like Florida's like,
Not today.
Not here.
Is there ever a year where it feels like Christmas in Florida or California or whatever? Like, that just blows my mind when I think that. Okay, because I associate, like, Christmas, you know, yeah, you're right, it's just around the corner, and December's really caught up on me as well. But I associate Christmas with snow.
Oh, I used to also.
You know, yes, for sure, yeah. And it's like, when you live in an environment or a climate where there's no snow, how do you get into the spirit of Christmas?
The stores and the people on your street decorating.
God,
it's really weird. The first couple of years I was down here were really strange because, you know, you had decorations and no snow. You know, I was like, oh my God, this is weird. But I'm used to it now, so. Yeah,
mm-hmm. It grows on you. It does.
Yeah.
It would take some getting used to. Even up here, we're only finally getting the cold weather just in the last week or so, and it only snowed just a little while ago, and it's like, this was really weird. We're in, like, you know, we're well into December and it's finally only snowing, and then that makes me think, well, why? What is going on with the world, you know? Mm-hmm. That it's not cold up here yet. Meanwhile, everyone is like, oh, this is great. Yeah, it's warm. It's great. Yeah, woohoo. But why? Why is that? Why don't you stop and think about, you know, maybe why?
Yeah, well.
You know? No.
I'm not complaining.
we're not here to change the world tonight. We're here to entertain it. And I'm really looking forward to tonight.
We're here because of Slayer!
Slayer!
There we are. For sure. And we seem to be able to... I don't remember the last 10 years. We've had a special Slayer episode, Spotlight episodes, and we've had just about everything you could possibly do with Slayer except actually have a band member on.
I know.
You know?
Yeah, we need cats. They're elusive.
One of these times.
They're very elusive.
Yeah. One of these times, you know, we got to do something. You guys have even been backstage and smelt their catering and all that.
Oh, that was the best. I'll never forget that.
We got to actually have them on one of these times.
I know.
But I am really stoked for what we have for Creature Feature tonight. And we just got a metric shit ton of cool stuff to talk about and some tunes and all that. So if you guys don't mind, we'll get right into it.
And what have we been up to this week? Find out in our Metal Fix.
Okay, guys, what's going on?
Corinne, do you have anything?
Well, I saw a local show this week.
That's right.
And
right on.
I just want to, I told Rock about this, but there was an incident that happened, and yeah, it was not a good one.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. It involved me.
Uh-oh.
It did, and another band. And it came a time where I'm making this decision was nobody else's but mine, that I am going to blacklist them from Radioactive Metal. It was really bad.
As well as they should.
Yeah, and it goes along the lines of disrespecting somebody who's been trying to help you, and then it goes against disrespecting their wife, and I just... And they said in front of Mr. Kareem too, and what they said was just not appropriate.
No.
And that's coming from me. Mm-hmm. And I say a lot of crazy
stuff. Holy shit, yeah. That's, yeah, you really got to be way off the mark to offend you. Yeah.
Yes. I don't want to go into details because...
Oh, no, you shouldn't.
Bringing that kind of stuff up is just not worthy. But that's the kind of metal experience I got to have. And I know our metal culture isn't like that. It's just those few bad apples who make it like that. And not everybody acts that way.
Yep. Yep. So basically, we will have nothing to do with this one band in particular. We're not going to say who, but that's it.
Correct.
Okay.
So, right. Correct.
Yeah, as we speak, I don't even know who you're talking about.
So nope. Yeah. And I know. Okay. And I know about it just because Corinne called me and she wanted to know what I thought. So.
Yeah, I was pretty upset about it. Yeah, so Rock was like, Rock is like my my advisor. Like, Rock, I got to talk to you about this. Rock, what do you think? Like, Rock, you're.
It's like Dr. Rock or Dad. It's like, hey, Dad, what should I do?
He's like the metal advisor of the metal world, Rock. That's what he should be known as, the metal advisor.
Cooler heads.
Dude, I need to ask you about this, Rock. You're like, what do you think? This involves us. We need to really think about this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there was not much thinking to be done. So, but hey, it is what it is. So.
That's too bad.
But the show you went to, was it a good show?
It was a bunch of local bands, including one that I personally love. It involved Emperos.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And they always play a good show. So
yes, they do.
Along those lines, you know, besides what happened, it was pretty good. I was very surprised. They played a new song, and we talked a little bit outside of the venue about what's coming up and what they've been working on,
mm-hmm.
as far as new projects. It's really cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I believe that was at the Haven, right?
It was at the Haven.
Yep. So very cool. Very cool. For myself, I haven't listened to a whole lot of new stuff this week, but I found this site. Oh my God, you would freak out. It's a site.
Good.
It's all 80s metal, but all stuff that you can download, but it's because it's all out of print.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So there's no harm, no foul, you know, cause you can't find it anyway. You know, it's out of print. So dude, I found stuff like Eden. You know that vinyl that of Eden that I bought a few weeks ago?
All right.
I never got a chance to really listen to it. Well, I found the MP3s on this site. So I downloaded the MP3s instead of ripping the album. Now I have the MP3s, and, you know, so I've been listening to some Eden, and man, they were heavy. They were like not their look at all. You know, their look, you would think they were like Poison. But no, it's more like a... I wouldn't say Armored Saint, but close, you know? It was heavy shit, you know? There was those guys, Abattoir. Remember Abattoir?
I do.
Oh, my God. I only had the first album, Vicious Attack, and I never got the second album, The Only Safe Place. So, and that was on there, so I got that. And not as good as Vicious Attack, but, you know, it's a decent album. What else did I find? Jesus Christ. Oh, Touched. That vinyl that I bought again a few weeks ago at the Park Ave. Well, I actually found the MP3s, so there you go. So I don't have to rip it. All sorts of stuff. Nasty Savage, Penetration Point. I found that too. Man, I had a field day with this with this site. The only thing is I don't like how it's organized, and it's really hard to find stuff unless you actually know exactly a band name, you know, when you do a search. So, but yeah, so I've been catching up on my old school metal this week, basically. So the website, let me pull it up here.
I want to hear this.
Yeah, it's called Boneyard Metal, Metal of the 80s. And it's bm-80smetal.blogspot.com. And a lot of stuff, you know, that on there. It's like I was saying, it's hard to find, you know, something unless you actually know the name of the band. And sometimes there's some bands that I put in there that they don't have anything. So, but people are constantly adding stuff. I see here stuff was added a couple days ago, like Grim Reaper was added. And then Assassin on December 9th was added. So, you know, they keep adding stuff all the time. But they do have it set by country, though. So if you're looking for a band from Denmark, well, they say here, well, we've got 40 bands, 40 releases in here. So you click on it, but then you have to scroll down page by page because they come up as from the date that they were posted. So yeah, it's a little hard to find, but man, I found Sortilège. Remember those guys?
Of course, Metamorphose.
Metamorphose, yeah. Then do you remember they did an English and French version of it?
I do.
I actually found both on here. So I like the French version better, of course, because that's the one that my friend had, you know. So the English version to me is just weird. So, you know, not used to listening to it. So, but yeah, so that's my metal fix for this week. I mean, just diving back into all that old crap, you know, that I haven't listened to in years.
Right on. More often than not, like, I try to listen to, like, the artist's original vision. Mm-hmm. So that Sortilège record, you know, like, I was more familiar with the French and, you know, and remember Nina 99 Luft Ballons?
Yes, I like the German version better.
I know that one.
Okay, on the B side to that, it was in English.
Yep.
Okay, I would always play the A side because the original vision was in German, and I would always play that. And everyone around me would be like, why are you playing it like that? Why aren't you playing the English one? Shut up. Just, oh, God.
Just enjoy the music.
That's right. It's supposed to be French, so that's sort of lazy record.
Yeah,
like I would play the French version. Yeah.
Metamorphose.
Oh, definitely. Great stuff.
Man, that was so good.
Oh, for sure. I still love that record. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pulling that out tonight. Yeah, I'm pulling that out tonight. That's going to be awesome. I'm a little distracted tonight when it comes to the metal stuff. I went and saw Rogue One last night, the new Star Wars movie.
How was it?
Oh, it was fantastic. Yeah. But the majority of my metal fix and where I got my metal this week was basically not my usual. Like, I didn't go to any live shows, and I didn't buy any new albums or any new stuff that came across my desk. Just various different avenues, and one of them is through podcasts. Various different podcasts. I discovered a few that kind of lean towards the hardcore side. A really cool one called Edgeland Podcast, and they're way up, you know, in the number of episodes, and it focuses on straight edge hardcore bands that are straight edge and bands that once were straight edge, and just going over the list of bands that have been on this show already, and it's like, man, I'm kicking myself for not discovering this earlier, because bands like Earth Crisis, Throwdown, Judge, Most Precious Blood, Youth of Today, Spaz, Strife, and even Adam Dyson from Withdrawal up here in Winnipeg and all that was on.
Most Precious Blood was straight edge?
They had what they do is they'll have a more often than not is have a straight edge and then someone who once was straight edge.
Okay.
You know, kind of like who broke edge and all that.
I don't know if they're not straight edge anymore. I just didn't know that they ever were.
Yeah. Well, I think what it is with most Precious Blood, I'm trying to remember the episode now because it wasn't with Rachel Rosen, so it was a little tougher to remember for me, obviously. I think they were one of the edge breakers, or they once were edge, or just it's different. I definitely recommend, even if you're not straight edge or anything, just if you like hardcore music, edgelandpodcast.com, go and check that out. It's a really good, and I recently discovered it. I listened to all the most recent episodes of the bands I really wanted to hear about, and now I'm just going to binge listen to what I can going back to the beginning as well. Mm-hmm. Going from that cast, they introduced me to another one called 100 Words or Less, which is kind of the same idea. It's just the usual, it's a podcast something like ours where it's the majority is, or the focus would be on interviews. Now I got to a couple episodes, but the most recent one I was listening to was an interview with Colt Cabana.
Oh, okay.
Ron, yes, you would know who Colt Cabana is, of course, and all that. And it was a really interesting chat, as they, how equated being an independent band and trying to tour and get your name out there with that of being an independent pro wrestler and the similarities of the lifestyles and all that. So I thought that was really interesting. If you're like us that like both hard music and pro wrestling, I definitely think you should check out that and the 100 Words or Less podcast. Really digging that. The new latest episode of Neckbreaker introduced me to a band that I probably should have known who this was, but you know, you just don't know everyone. And that's a really cool, almost porno grind band called Goratory, or at least a porno deathcore band or something. You got some really, really ribald lyrics. They were prevalent back in the early 90s, and they appear to be back, and I do have a Goratory song queued up here that I want to get to soon. Really interesting stuff. Yeah, I'm going to be checking them out a lot more. There's going to be in the White House, okay, here, blasting out of our kitchen, because I have an old-fashioned ghetto blaster that I still listen to terrestrial radio, much to Mrs. White's chagrin sometimes, because I've discovered on our college station, CKUW, who I'm no stranger to the inside of that studio over the past couple of years and all that, there is a show called Blast or Bust.
Okay.
Where it's an hour of just brutal underground grindcore and power violence and all that. It's like, okay, well, I'm checking it out and I'm like, what do you mean you've been at this for 2 years now? Like, how is it that I don't know about this show? Like, come on, you're not promoting yourself very well. If a guy like me doesn't know about a grindcore show on terrestrial radio, and I accidentally just stumbled on it, you know, like while I was at the gym, of all places, you know, it was really weird. So I was given that show a really good listen. CKUW.com if you want to check out some back episodes, and it's live as well on Wednesday night. And when I was done listening to that first episode for me, I switched it back over to one of the usual stations. So like when we do listen to music in the kitchen together, you know, back to one of the rock stations, okay? Mm-hmm. First song, as I switch it back to the classic rock station, was Maiden's Number of the Beast.
Oh, nice.
It's like, oh, great timing. this is awesome. Yeah. right on. And the Revolver Music Awards happened.
Yes.
As you may recall, I didn't catch them live, but they are streaming now. The entire episode, the entire show is up on YouTube right now. And, you know, I'm not really big on watching these music awards. When I was a kid, I got right into all of them. All movie, TV, music, all those award shows I got right into. But just as I got older and older and older, it's just there was just less and less interest because there's just less and less for us. But, you know, since I've managed to find this, I found myself, okay, you know, taking the time out to watch this. And I found myself doing what I did a lot of times when I was a kid. They would have a certain category and some really stupid winner goes and wins and you go like, what? Mm-hmm. Yeah, really? You know,
it's always like that.
You know, and the thing that really got me, and I'm not going to give away too much of this. I really think that, you know, our listeners should just go onto YouTube and find it. But one of the things that really kind of gnawed me was their most dedicated fans category. Okay, and some of the nominees were like Anthrax, Periphery, Trivium, Volbeat, and Pierce the Veil.
Okay,
and when you think about all of those bands, okay, Anthrax has been around for more than 30 years. Okay, like there is obviously a proven fan base there. Yeah. Trivium is doing pretty good in the dedicated fans as well. Word is probably out on Volbeat. We'll see in about 5 years. But Pierce the Veil. Okay, and this is the thing that kind of gnawed at me. Good band. I got nothing against them. Nothing against their fans. Okay. But I don't think that music is going to be timeless. And I don't see their fans being there 5 years from now. Okay. And the whole reason I'm talking about this, and you can tell in my voice, is because they effing won.
Of course.
I could not believe that. You know, and it's like you might think, well, it's Revolver and all that. Well, no, there was actually a lot of cool artists did win some stuff that you might not have thought that they would.
Did Slayer win?
No, that's it. They didn't win anything, but what was kind of cool was, and I will give this away, the Most Metal Athlete Award.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Went to Baron Corbin from the World Wrestling Federation, from the WWF. There,
WWE.
WWE.
He's still stuck in that WWF mode.
Old habits. I'm never going to get into the habit of WWE. Well, anyways, yes, Baron Corbin won that. We knew going in that he was into the metal and all that for his angle that he did with Corey Taylor down in NXT. You know, you kind of got that feeling. Now, he wasn't my choice. He wasn't the one I was rooting for. I was rooting for Drew Stafford from the Winnipeg Jets hockey team.
Oh.
Up here. Yeah. It was really cool. He was nominated. I want to get Stafford on the horn one of these times. I don't know when, see what the schedule is like, but that's definitely would be a very interesting creature feature.
Probably be an over the summer type thing.
Probably.
Kind of busy right now.
Yeah, because once the Jets don't make the playoffs or they're eliminated the first round, in between Stafford's golf game, we'll, you know, you understand that joke.
Yes.
You know, when a hockey team gets eliminated from the playoffs, they're going golfing.
Yes, I knew
so
that.
Instead of say, oh, okay, I don't know, sometimes...
Dude, I've been following hockey for most of my life.
I know, but remember, some things that happen, you know... Like in civilized society, you don't always get in Gorfland over there. So we kind of.
I don't even know what you're talking about. You know, because I don't watch hockey.
Sometimes you guys don't get the same expressions.
It's just a thing, you know, when a hockey team's season is over, they say they're going golfing.
They're going golfing, yeah.
Hockey players are golfers.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Most of them, yep.
They're not like, I'm going to Disney World. They're literally saying, I'm going golfing.
Yeah, oh yeah, they do. They play tournaments all summer long and stuff. And oh yeah, one of those. Cool. Ones.
I didn't know that.
Well, you learn something new every day.
You're not kidding.
Yeah. Like I said, I learned all about Goratory. Okay, and I especially want to send this out to our good buddy Brian Thompson from the Neckbreaker podcast, who introduced me to this band because it was his birthday this week. So yeah.
Oh well, happy birthday!
Yes, dude. Thank you so much for this, and this is for you. This is Goratory from their Sexual Intercorpse record. This is Mutilate and Modify.
I like to dissect girls. Did you know I'm utterly insane? We'll be right back.
guys, before we get on with tonight's creature feature, I want to pat ourselves on the back. It's also kind of relevant to last week's creature feature because you had that really cool interview with Flotsam and Jetsam.
Yes.
Yeah, I really dug it. It was really cool. It's just it was a very atmospheric interview, I call it, where, like you said, you got people coming in and out and talking. It's amazing. It's just like being there. I don't recall once, okay, through that whole episode, I don't think anyone said the name Jason.
No.
Am I wrong?
No, I never brought him up.
That's awesome. And none of us said anything, and no one from the band did. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with Jason Newsted. I'm a fantastic guy. You know, he's more than welcome to be on the show at any time he wants. But it's just Flotsam and Jetsam just seems to be married to that dude, even, you know, 25 years after he left the band and all that. Every time you can't go anywhere, you know, with Flotsam and Jetsam without that coming up. And it must be so frustrating to them where, you know, they're like, well, we love Jason, but come on, he's not in the band anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and I was so proud of us that none of us went that way. And I thought that was really cool. So I just wanted to say horns up to us.
Yay!
Up to
well, Corrine would not have known to bring up the name, so
I could pretend to know.
That's right, kayfabe.
Listen, guys,
okay, this is for our listeners. Did you notice before we cut to the music that Corrine was more quiet than usual?
Hey, wait a minute here.
And that's because she was playing a game while we were talking.
Uh-oh. Whatever. It was Diablo. I was trying to find a safe spot, you know.
So while the music was playing, I called her out on it. So
I'm like, no, that's not me.
I'm like, really? Because I hear some clicking. It's like, oh, okay, I was playing.
Sheesh. Gosh. Somebody is really fixated on me not playing Diablo.
Kids, you can play all you want, just not while we're talking. Well, when the grown-ups are talking, you have to listen, Corrine.
Oh. If they have anything important to say.
Well, guess what?
I know who's going to have something important to say.
Yes.
Tonight's creature feature.
Yes, he is.
Yes. So tonight, we have Mr. John Schnepp on the episode. The reason why he's on here, because for most people, his name is probably not a household name, but you've seen his work. I'm assuming that most of our listeners have seen the TV show Metalocalypse on Adult Swim. John was the director on practically almost all of the series, and he helped design all the characters. And so, you know, John is he's a metalhead. He's the real deal. He's the real deal. So the reason why we have him on is because Slayer is putting out a comic book through Dark Horse Comics, and it's coming out on, I believe, I have the date here, January 25th, issue 1 is coming out, and you can actually pre-order right now if you were to go to your local comic shop and tell them, hey, I want to get this series as it's coming out. They're going to pull every issue for you. It's a 3-issue miniseries, and You're gonna see that by listening to this interview with John that it's gonna be a pretty freaking cool series. Basically, what we talk about in this interview is what the comic series is based on. I had my theory about what it could be, but he told me what it was, and it's completely different. And I'm actually liking what this is about. We talked about his relationship with the band, licensing, how licensing works with something like this, and likenesses, because I don't know if you guys saw the 3 videos that Slayer put out for this album, guys. Repentless, You mm-hmm. Against You, and Pride and Prejudice. It's like a storyline.
I have seen it, yeah.
Okay, this whole story. Well, what's his name? Trejo. Is it Danny Trejo?
Oh, yeah.
He's in the video, so, you know. there's a thing with his likeness being used in the comic, and we talk about that in the interview. We talked about the artwork and, you know, the process of doing this, but also something else that comes up is his work on Metalocalypse. So we talk a little bit about that, and it's relevant because Dark Horse has put out some Death Clock comics over the years, and that's all stuff that's available through your comic shop. Also, if you're interested in finding all the Death Clock comics, I mean they were pretty funny. So if you guys don't mind, we're just gonna get into this. So everybody, sit back. Get your drink of choice because, the Christmas is here, and get some eggnog and spike it a little bit and sit back and enjoy this interview with John Schnepp, writer of Slayer Repentless. Okay, so John, thank you for joining us today. I mean, I know you're a very busy guy living the Hollywood life, so I really appreciate you being here today.
Oh, right on. You're welcome. No, very happy to be on Radioactive Metal.
Awesome. Well, thank you. So the reason why we have you on today is because, Slayer, our favorite metal band, is releasing a comic book miniseries, and you're the writer on it. So it's coming out from Dark Horse Comics, and issue one is coming out January 25th. So let's start at the beginning. I mean, how did this project come about, and how did you get involved?
Well, I got involved because one of the editors over at Dark Horse, named Chris Warner, I worked with him on doing the actual Metalocalypse comic book when they published it back in 2010. Mm-hmm. We did a three-issue run. We did a kind of a crossover with Eric Powell's The Goon. That was the first kind of Death Clock comic. And then we ended up doing a three-issue series, which I ended up writing the plot lines, and then Brendan approved them, so we kind of got those done, and then we handed them off to an amazing scriptwriter, Jeremy Barlow. And they were illustrated, and Eric Powell did the covers, and it was just a really fun. Lucas Marangan did the artwork for it, and it was just a really fun kind of a way to access Metalocalypse from a different perspective. Like, I've been a giant comic book fan my entire life, and reading comics as a little kid, still buy comics. I do a comic book YouTube show, so I've always been a big comic book fan. I've also been a big metal fan, so. Doing a death metal cartoon show is a little different. It's like mm-hmm. a more extreme version of metal, but it was great to get into that world. And I lived in that world for for 8 years solid while I did all four seasons of Metalocalypse. And I'm still in that world because I still listen to death metal and heavy metal. Yeah. So, but Chris Warner was the one who reached out to me because while I was working on the Metalocalypse comics and kind of like coming up with some of the plot lines, I became pals with him, and I just, told him some crazy stories. I was like, yeah, man, if I ever did this Cannibal Corpse video, this is what I want to do. And told him about some of these other video concepts that I was writing, and, I'd just done this this Exodus music video. Mm-hmm. And it was just, he was like, wow, you got a really pretty twisted, dark mind, I was like, yeah, it'd be fun to do this kind of stuff. It's like, it's a little more extreme than some of the, especially some of the cartoons that I was working on, because at the time I was doing Metalocalypse and then went on to direct Venture Brothers and mm-hmm. Black Panther and a lot of these other kind of cartoons. So I think it just stayed in his head, some of these creepy, messed up stories that I had told him. And when the Slayer comic came about, he reached out to me and was like, hey, man, would you be interested in this, and would you be able to do it where it doesn't have any kind of a comedic overtone, where it's dead serious? And I was like, happen to be looking for something in that exact kind of tone where it wasn't comedic, where it was really kind of a dead serious take. So I was like, yeah, let me put something together. And at the time, BJ O'Connell's first video had just dropped, and we knew that he was doing either one or two more. Mm-hmm. And we were like, well, that would be a great thing to base, the comic off of. So we had kind of the rough outlines of what, at least his music videos were going to be about. Mm-hmm. And so I went ahead and wrote out a pre-story and then a post-story. So the music videos, those three music videos, are kind of told in about a four-page flashback in the very first episode of the Slayer, the first issue of the Slayer comic, as well as more backstory on the main character. So
okay.
That's kind of how I approached it. And I wanted to kind of make a kind of like a road movie, kind of a travel movie with these characters, and kind of like use those characters and some of the story plot points and go further with them.
Okay. Okay. So you're definitely expanding on the videos. So the videos for our listeners, the videos are Repentless, You Against You, and Pride and Prejudice. So I definitely recommend people to watch these because they're twisted.
Oh yeah, they're really twisted. They're really fun. And the main character with the eye patch is someone that we end up really kind of, he is our main character, and we follow his storyline from beginning all the way through all three issues.
Okay, gotcha. Because see, when I first heard about this series happening, I was thinking, well, okay, well, how do you do this? And I had not seen the videos yet, so I was like, well, is he going to take like each song and do like a mini story for each song and then spread it out over three issues? Or because that could have been something too.
Yeah, no, it's not done like that. It's really literally we start with Wyatt is the main character's name. I don't want to give away too much of the storyline, but it's literally him against his brother.
Okay.
And we find out about Wyatt's past, and then we come upon certain choices that he made, and then we kind of see those music videos kind of told in a flashback style, like I said, over the course of like, I believe it's like 4 to 5 pages.
Okay.
And then we come upon that very last video. And then we pick up from that last video, I believe somewhere on like page like 9 or 10. Mm-hmm. And then we move forward and go into the story of the rest of the story that goes through all three issues.
Gotcha. So, gotcha. Now,
it was a really cool way to be able to use what BJ had come up with and give it context and give it a tone and give it a story from beginning to the middle to the end, where you know those videos kind of all happen like in the first like I said, the first like pages, like I believe it's pages like 4 to 9, something like that, where gotcha. We put those videos into context.
Gotcha. Now in the videos, Danny Trejo plays a role in there. Is he going to be in the comic book more than just those 4 or 5 pages?
Danny Trejo's character, due to rights issues or likeness issues, I mean, the character is going to be in there, but it's not going to look like Danny Trejo.
Gotcha. I was wondering about that. Yes.
Yeah. No, Danny Trejo is awesome. So
do you feel that to write something like this, that you have to be a Slayer fan? Could anybody write this?
Yes and no. I'll say it like that. I mean, it certainly helps to enjoy metal, whether you want to call it, whatever you want to call it, thrash metal, death metal, heavy metal, extreme metal, any kind of, darker tone music that, is about, sometimes it deals with the dark side of humanity, stories that aren't that easily, digested, so to speak. I think, it really helps. It really helped me, to get into the storytelling mode of, mm-hmm. of writing something that's pretty dark. We go into some dark places, especially in issue. I mean, all of it, the whole comic, all three issues are very dark, but mm-hmm. we go really dark in issue 2 and 3. So,
okay.
To get into that, mind state was helpful to be listening to darker music. Definitely was listening to all of Slayer's 30 years of incredible music. I was also sometimes throwing on some Behemoth, throwing on some Amon Amarth, went back to some old industrial Ministry, listening to some Filthpig. I mean, I was like kind of like enjoying these kinds of little breaks and listening, just having that music playing in the background while I wrote the story.
Gotcha. Yeah, I was going to ask if
kind
you
of really... very what's that
I was going to ask if you were listening to any music while you were working on this, because some people like to work in silence, but some people like to have background stuff going on. So I'm glad to hear that you were listening to Slayer.
Yeah, I absolutely love having music playing when I'm drawing or when I'm writing. It just really, it's such a creative buzz, and it puts me into a kind of a zone. Like when I was a lot younger, I used to go and write a lot of like crazy stories, and I would go to coffee houses, just like get fueled on like high speed coffee and just like write crazy stream of consciousness stuff. Mm-hmm. And in a certain sense, that's how I get while I'm listening to metal. It just gives me this energy. It's it's such an energy boost. It puts me in a different mental state. So when I'm writing, I can write stream of consciousness and then just keep going with that flow and then cleaning it up and then rewriting the dialogue and then moving forward through different pages and then going back and rewriting those pages. It just puts you in the right mental state for sure. So if you're into metal, it would definitely help if you're writing something that is in that kind of darker tone, that you want to listen to some music that's like that. And in the same breath, you know, I listened to old tracks off The Cure's Fascination Street, thanks to Spotify. I was like, now I'm checking out some, some Cure, but depresso kind of music, but it was like still in that same kind of goth tone, which segued pretty easily back into metal. So it was like, sometimes I would take a few breaks, but pretty much I'd say 95% of the time I was listening to, you might want to say darker music like heavy metal, death metal.
Gotcha. So this is a licensed property, obviously. And I've heard a lot of horror stories over licensed properties because of, the approval process and all that kind of stuff. So do you have an approval process for this one?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, both Nuclear Blast, USA, and Slayer's management, and even Slayer, they're all involved in the approval process. And it goes, wrote the outlines. It kind of went through all those approval processes. And then each of the scripts go through each of those approval processes as well. Everybody's been really happy with what's going on. I got to meet the guys from Slayer. I know Gary from working with him on some Exodus music videos.
Yeah.
But I got to meet Tom and Carrie. I really got to talk to Tom quite a bit about what I'm doing with some of the dialogue. I'm actually taking some of the actual lyrics from different Slayer albums from, all 30 of their years, and kind of using a little bits and pieces of their dialogue, and I'm annotating all of it so that, once it all comes out in the trade paperback, it'll be, oh my God, that's from that's from that line, from that song. I kind of worked in some of that into a lot of the dialogue in all three issues. So that was a lot of fun too.
Yeah. As a reader, I love that kind of stuff. I love finding little Easter eggs like that. It's pretty cool.
Well, there are plenty of Easter eggs. So any like diehard Slayer fans who especially know all of the lyrics of all of the songs are going to get a lot of, going to appreciate, what some of the characters in the comics actually say. And they stay true to the type of what the song is about too. So,
mm-hmm. So the artist on this, I can't pronounce, is it a he or a she?
It's a he.
Okay. How do you pronounce his name?
His last name is Guao, I believe. But it's a hard name to pronounce. I don't have it in front of me, so go ahead and read it out.
Well, it's Guiu, so Guao Villanova.
That sounds perfect to me, man. Guao would be very happy with that pronunciation.
Okay.
He's killing it, man. I got the first issue a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. and literally out of I describe, in comics, in the way you write a comic script is, I'm not writing it like Alan Moore, where I'm describing like four paragraphs per panel and then dialogue. I'm writing out, maybe three or four sentences to describe the panel. And then there's the dialogue, like the actions that are happening, perhaps the angle from the shot so that, they smoothly move forward. Like it's kind of like doing cinematography and or directing, but then working with someone who is also the executor of the cinematography and the directing. So we're working with a writer artist combination is very much like that. So I would kind of like write out all the panels and write the descriptions of the panels and from what angles we should be seeing the panels. And then it was up to him, like, what are they wearing? What do they look like? All that kind of stuff. I didn't give him any character drawings of what any of the characters should specifically look like. So it was a lot of fun to see that. And to see the pages come back and he has such a beautiful kind of like almost like, I wouldn't say photorealistic, but all the perspectives are on point. It's not goofy, cartoony looking. Mm-hmm. It's like very accurate. So it was great to see it, all the panels come to life. So I can't wait for everyone else to see it. Literally, I think out of 22 pages, I had two panel revisions where I just wanted them to be gorier. So I was like, can we make this a little bit more extreme? Because that's what these two panels are really kind of going for. And so that's really literally the only notes I've had on on issue one, and issue two is being done right now, so I haven't seen it yet, but I should be seeing the artwork for it, you know, in the next week or so. And then you know, issue three, basically the final script I'm handing in the next week or so. So so, you know, it's been a very organic process writing and seeing the artwork come back. So I'm just, now I'm kind of excited for people to read the first issue, which comes out in a month.
Yeah, well, I saw the couple of pages that Dark Horse released as a preview. And yeah, I was like, okay, well, this is going to be good. This is going to be good. But what really selling this for me is the covers by Glenn Fabry and Eric Powell. My God, how awesome are they?
Oh my God, super talent. I mean, if you would have told me when I was buying Preacher, like 15, you know, 20 years ago, that the cover artist of Preacher would be doing the covers of this comic that I'm working on, I would have never believed it. It's a dream come true to work with someone that, I mean, I'm not even working with him, he's just drawing the covers, but just to be associated with someone who's that amazing of an artist, every cover he does is a masterpiece. And then to have the variant cover for the first issue done by Eric Powell, who's also became a pal after working with him on the Metalocalypse comics. That guy is also just a genius. He's an amazing writer, amazing illustrator. If you haven't checked out The Goon, I highly recommend it. Oh, and all of his other comics too, Chimichanga, Hillbilly. I mean, he's got a lot of amazing comic book creations that he's done, and his art style is fantastic.
Yeah, so, and he's got
great to be associated with.
And he's got a twisted sense of humor. So he's got a twisted sense of humor.
Fantastic. Yeah. He's a great guy.
So besides comic books, you've mentioned earlier you've done music videos for Exodus, and you've written and directed a lot of cartoons, like you mentioned Metalocalypse, and you also, I think, worked on Space Ghost Coast to Coast. And
That was my first kind of real professional job outside of my very first professional job was like doing this MTV Club Dead, the CD-ROM interactive video game where I was like editor, art director, animation director, storyboard. I did all this stuff on this really kind of out there, crazy MTV video game, interactive video game, and then moved on to do Space Ghost and edit that TV show that like from the early, after the late 90s, where it was like before it became Adult Swim. We were doing this like experimental, freaky, 11-minute show. And then that kind of did a bunch of those, and then I went and moved on and did Aqua Teen Hunger Force. I designed their house and their, you know, Carl's house and his stupid pool and all the, I did all those, and it was just like a weird pilot, and then that kind of became this like 14-year thing. I ended up doing a voice for it, like I played the Wisdom Cube, and just kind of popped around working on a lot of different Adult Swim stuff for all those years, and then did a bunch of other kinds of editing jobs and short films and this and that, and then Metalocalypse really came about because of my friend Tommy Blacha, who was like my second roommate in college, and we'd been maintained being friends over the years. Sometimes I wouldn't see him for a couple of years, then we'd hang out, work on a project together, then I wouldn't see him for a couple of years. And we happened to be writing a feature film script, which we still haven't pitched anywhere because we ended up doing it, finishing it, and then we went right into, he was like, hey, I met this guy, Brendan, and we have this this death metal cartoon, and would you like to, you know, design the characters? And so I ended up designing the characters of Death Clock, literally kind of like drew Murderface, Toki, Nathan, and Squiscar, like, and the drawings never changed. Like I just drew them in pencil and kind of like, they were like, that's perfect. I mean, Squiscar, his hair was originally parted more on the side and not in the middle. So that's the only real change for Squiscar.
Okay.
And then Toki went through, I mean, not Toki, Pickles went through all these different changes. Like, originally I had him with spiky hair because my designs were like, yo, I want you to be able to tell who all the characters are if you just saw their shadows. Like, if they were just black outlines, you'd be able to know who they are. Or if they were from far away, because that's, each one has different, you know, this guy's got red hair, this guy's got yellow hair, this guy's got brown hair, this guy's got black hair, this guy's got that super weird pyramid hair, murder face. So it was like, it was kind of like designing them like that. And then I also, like, Tommy and Brendan supplied me with, like, a ton of pictures, like, photo reference of all these different death metal bands. A lot of them that I'd never, you know, seen or heard before because I wasn't a giant death metal fan. I was a heavy metal fan. So it was fun to get into that world, you know. Emu Borger and a bunch of other, like, more extremely dressed characters, you know. So, you know, for myself, like, you know, George Corpse Grinder, his kind of like bulk was what, you know, I had Nathan based on.
Yeah.
And then all of their faces are just kind of a mishmash of a lot of people like, well, this looks like this guy or that guy. And none, I just drew characters that I wanted to like. All of the younger kind of death metal bands were like always standing in front of like a burned church or some kind of broken. And, you know, they're all wearing vests and they're not the greatest looking dudes, mm-hmm. which is like, look, that's not everybody looks like Brad Pitt. So it was kind of fun to be like, all of the band of Death Clock should not be that good looking except for Pickles, you know? So I was like, I made him kind of like the most symmetrical face and the best kind of the best looking, if you're going to judge it like that. Everyone else kind of has broken noses, weird yep. cheekbones, and they're all kind of weird looking. I mean, even Squiscar, just giving him that upper lip definition, instantly, he's the only character, if you look at all of them, who has like an extra delineation for his upper lip, because he's so egotistical and snotty and is constantly looking down at everybody because uh-huh. they're not as good as him. So having that upper lip definition always makes him look like he thinks he's better than you. So it's like, there were a lot of just little things that just I did in the first pass. Like I said, Pickles is the one that changed the most. We had him look like Devin Townsend for a minute. Then Devin Townsend's manager was like, hey, it looks like that. You can't have that. That's our skullet. That's our look. And I was like, all right. And, you know, too bad for you. Now he's going to have a dread. You know, I had him have like the alien spider claws. And then we just took one of the claws away. And that's how he ended up getting the dread comb over. Because I was like, all right, well, you know, we don't want to have him look like this guy, but we're going to keep the dreads and he's going to be bald. But I had a flock of seagulls kind of look that he had at one point. Okay. All these Pickles variations. And we ended up going with like the dread comb over, which I really love. So, I mean, that's how the designs of Death Clock came about. And then, I made these kind of like little videos and Brendan and Tommy kind of played some of these songs. They went on these little, like, so they went to South by Southwest and played the music video, played like two songs. And then Adult Swim, said, we want to buy like 20 episodes. And then literally like about 5 months elapsed with contract stuff and this and that. Mm-hmm. And, we ended up moving into this company called Titmouse. They had just lost this major job. They didn't know what they were going to do. They were possibly going to lose their space. And we were like, hey, we've got 20 episodes of this cartoon show. And we ended up producing it there, and it literally was like a great situation. I directed every 3 episodes, and then Chris P., the guy who runs Titmouse, would direct an episode, then I would direct 3 more, and he would direct one, then I would direct 3 more. And that's how we did the first 2 seasons, where out of the first 20, I think I directed 16 of them, and the same thing with the second season. So it was a lot of work. I storyboarded the episodes. I edited. I didn't give myself credit as an editor. I didn't want to like be like, I worked on everything. It was like, you know, I directed the show and overall worked on all aspects of it. I would storyboard certain scenes. I would edit all the music video sequences. I edited for my episodes. So it's very hands-on for myself, especially those first 2 seasons. I had a very specific vision of what I wanted Metalocalypse to look like. Mm-hmm. And it was because I had done all these other Adult Swim shows that I convinced Brendan and Tommy. I was like, look, it's this old school style. It's like how Tarzan and Flash Gordon were done. It's called Filmation. Those guys hadn't really heard of it before. So I kind of schooled on that. Uh-huh. I was like, that's what I want these characters to look like. I want them to look very realistic, not like anything else that Adult Swim really has on right now. All their shows have this other kind of look. I think it would be cool if we went with this. And it kind of worked, too. And I mean, the art director, Antonio, was very important in establishing these really badass, super painted backgrounds. So working in conjunction with him and the rest of the team was really how we came about getting this kind of really cool hybrid style that, you know, especially for the first 2 seasons, just, you know, it works every episode, you know.
Yeah.
You intro the story, and then you're on a freight train rocking and rolling all the way to some fucking horrible demise of characters. People are exploding, bodies are burning, people are dying, all while there's an insane music video going on. Usually Brennan would just like deliver an incredible song, and it would just be so inspiring to get the newest song of the episode that I was making. It would always be something like, hey, when am I gonna get that song? And then instantly I'd start drawing the, you know, storyboards for whatever that music video would be. So it was a really fun fun experience making Metalocalypse for sure.
It was a fun show to watch for sure. And even a guy from my work, he was not really a metal fan. He likes, you know, Kiss and stuff like that. But he watched the show and he kept asking me, "Hey, what does that? What did that mean?" What? And I would tell him, "Well, Dimmu Borgir. Well, that's from a band called Dimmu Borgir, or you know, Necrophagous right. Hospital." And, you know, it's all these little Easter eggs he would ask me about. It's like, "Well, that's that. That's that." So it was a fun show to watch for that too.
Oh yeah, it was really fun to like try to bury Easter eggs here and there. Nile. I mean, we threw so many in there. It was like Fin Trolls was obviously one of the bigger ones, but it was fun to like throw in all these different little ones. Yeah, a really fun show. And now it's sort of like one of those shows that you're like, I'm so proud that I was able to make 60. I produced 60 episodes of a death metal cartoon
show. Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people come up to me is like, when is the fifth season going to kind of like. Hey man, you know what? A lot of cartoon series never make it past the pilot. And then even if they make it through one episode that you'll never see, they only have one season, then they're canceled, especially if they're on off the radar or off the beaten path, like a death metal cartoon show. Well, I mean, I always tell people who come up to me like, man, I wish there was more of it. I'm like, dude, there's 60 episodes. That's like, it's fantastic that we got that far. I always felt like, when are we going to get canceled? When are we going to get stopped doing this? Cause we're doing some crazy shit. We're getting away with some madness. Mm-hmm. So that we were able to do that many episodes, I think it's fantastic. And they're all on Hulu now. So there's always new people. Like, I never saw Metalocalypse until yesterday. And then we get new fans all the time. And I think that's just the best way that, you know, Metalocalypse can end. Plus, I always tell people, isn't it just more brutal that it just ended and you don't get an ending?
Yeah.
Because you didn't ask to get born and you're fucking going to die. So isn't it just better that this show just ends without some bow? Like, I don't want it to, you know, me personally, I didn't want to tie a knot and like have them jump the shark and like be singing Happy Days fucking songs. I'm glad. So I just think it's just more brutal that way. And the sooner people like turn around and realize that, the better, I think. It's just a better way. It's like, well, let's just have that final finale where they're all like hugging each other. It's like, yeah, that's not really Metalocalypse.
Yeah, no, not really. No,
not my Metalocalypse. So you won't see me working on it. I'm glad the way it is.
Yes, yes. Now to circle back to Slayer here, I'd like to do a couple of lightning round questions for you, and tell me the first thing that comes to mind. What's your favorite song on Repentless?
I would say God Hates Us All.
On Repentless?
No, not off Repentless. What's my favorite song off Repentless?
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I would have to go with Repentless. I love that song.
Yeah, yeah, me too, definitely. And then you already answered my next question. Your favorite Slayer song of all time, God Hates Us All.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. For me, it has to be Hell Awaits. Your favorite Slayer album?
Boy, I would stick with Disciple. That's one of my favorites.
Okay, okay. Rain and Blood here, it's the classic. Okay, and what's your all-time favorite metal band that's not Slayer?
Boy, that's a tough one. I mean, it's weird because I actually don't have like, oh, these are my top five bands. I like so much different music. Like, I love hearing a Amon Amarth. I love Behemoth. I love Black Sabbath.
Okay.
I love Metallica. Boy, it's my favorite band of my favorite heavy metal band of all time. I fucking love Soundgarden. I don't even think they're heavy metal. They don't.
They qualify. Yeah, they do qualify. So Soundgarden.
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna stick with Black Sabbath.
Black Sabbath. Oh yeah. Well, you can't go wrong with Black Sabbath. The fathers of heavy metal. And what would you say is your favorite metal album that's not a Slayer album?
Screaming for Vengeance, Judas Priest.
Oh, yeah. That's a great one. That's a great one.
I fucking love Priest, especially old Priest.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I saw them. Well, they came here a couple of years ago, and I had a press pass, and I was doing pictures. I could not believe I was like 3 feet away from Rob Halford, you know, taking pictures. It was awesome.
That's pretty fucking awesome, man. I saw them when they did their Turbo Lover tour.
Ooh, okay.
Hey, dude, that's old school. So, yeah.
I'm your turbo lover.
And you know what? They played the song when I saw them 2 years ago, and people were into it. People loved it.
Fuck yeah. Awesome.
So in closing, as we were saying, Slayer Repentless number one comes out on January 25th and from Dark Horse Comics. And people can follow Dark Horse on Twitter and on Facebook. But if somebody wants to start following you and seeing what you're doing, where can they find you on social media?
It's just at John Schnepp, and it's JonSchnepp. That's me on Twitter, and that's me on Instagram. So, you know, I also have a Facebook entertainer page. If you want to, you know, follow that, that's cool too. But I'm updating on Twitter all the time and posting like what I'm doing on Twitter and Instagram the most. So that's where you can find out what I'm doing next. So that's, you know, where I've been posting about Slayer, and like, you know, definitely you can pre-order it on Comixology, you know, if you want to get the digital copy, or if you want to get the actual, you know, real comic book, you can go to any of the comic book stores, pre-order it. You can call any of your local comic book stores and say, yo, I want you to save me a copy of Slayer when it comes out January 24th. Call them now, and they'll actually reserve a copy with your name on it. So that's the easiest way to get a physical copy.
Yep, it's on my pull list. So.
Oh, sweet.
All right, cool. Well, that's all I had. Thank you so much for doing this again. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, man. Thanks for all the questions. It's been a lot of fun. I mean, you know, definitely I'm going to be having a weird short horror film that I made coming out probably towards the end of this year. It might end up bleeding over into early January, but mm-hmm. I'll post about that as well on my Twitter. So it'll just be on YouTube, so you can just watch it.
Cool.
You know, it's something I've been working on for a while. It's like made a couple many years back, and I finally got, you know, a new soundtrack, and it's, you know, I'm very happy with it. I'm getting color correction done right now, so I'll be excited for people to see it. It's pretty gory.
So that was Cradle of Filth with their version of Hell Awaits. I love this version. It's it's different enough. It's the same, but different enough to be enjoyable. And that's what I like about covers. Yeah. And before that, well, of course, we heard the title track off the new Slayer album, the song Repentless, one of the inspirations on the storyline that is running through the three-issue miniseries that is coming out through Dark Horse Comics. So, John, I totally appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. I know he was super busy that day. He's got his own podcast that he does. It's a video podcast, and he was doing two episodes of his podcast instead of one that day. So we kept getting pushed back a little bit that night that we were supposed to record, but he made it, and more than made up for being a little late. And I totally appreciated his time because, you know, he's a busy guy, you know, being a director and a writer and stuff like that. And he's in Hollywood and stuff. So him taking the time to talk to us was absolutely awesome. So thank you so much. So everybody, like I said earlier before the interview, if you want to get the comic series, it's coming out from Dark Horse Comics, and go to your local comic shop and you go ask for you can ask them to pull it for you every month. The first issue comes out January 25th, and don't assume that they will have it, because this is the type of comic that's kind of a niche. So they may have one or two copies on the wall, but doesn't mean that by the time you get there that they still have them. They may sell out quick. So it's a good idea with comics, if you want these, that you can that you pre-order them. And if you decide that, well, I'll just wait until the trade paperback comes out, then you can let the comic shop know, hey, I'd rather get the trade paperback. Can you let me know when you get it? And you can do that. You know, you get the whole story in one book. Some people prefer to do that. I prefer the single issues. So I have it on my pull list, and I can't wait to read it. And I can't wait to see all these awesome covers by Glenn Fabry and Eric Powell. I love those two artists. So it's going to be a fun series, and it's going to further the storyline. Like you said, it's going to further the storyline that we saw in those three videos that Slayer put out for Repentless. It's going to be awesome.
No doubt.
Definitely looking forward to it.
Oh yeah.
I kind of want to give Dark Horse Comics just in general a shout out and a horns up, because like they kind of started their thing like after I got out of comic books full time, but I remember they did Star Wars.
Oh, for years, yes.
Yeah. And then they do a Godzilla title in there as well.
Oh, yeah, they've done
one point on
Judge,
that.
Judge Dredd, they did Judge Anderson. They did. Oh, they've done so much stuff. So much of Dark Horse is definitely an indie company. You know, they do stuff. They put out stuff that nobody else would dare put out.
I just remember thinking, this is the cool alternative to Marvel and DC. As great as those are and all that, like Dark Horse was the Dark Horse that they was, so you know, they named it appropriate and all that. And
oh yeah,
kind of equating it like as a wrestling fan, yeah, you had your big federations, but to get the really good stuff, you had to kind of go underground. It's the same thing with metal and all that. Yeah, the mainstream is good. Okay, but to get the really good stuff, you had to go underground, and you know, to get the really good comic books, you had to go to Dark Horse.
Yeah, well, the best example that I can give you for Dark Horse getting the really good underground stuff, Hellboy. They publish Hellboy, and they publish Sin City. You know, that's the home for those comics is Dark Horse. You know, and recently a series that the second volume of it just ended, Lady Killer. Lady Killer is freaking awesome. It's oh my god! It's this spy, this woman who's a hitman. She's a hit woman, and it's based in the '60s. And they live in Cocoa Beach, Florida, and it's awesome. And she goes and kills people, and it's super graphic. And oh man, it's awesome.
Right on. Yeah, let's check that out.
Yeah, Empowered. That's another one. The superhero. I love Empowered. Oh man. That doesn't come out enough. I think it comes out once a year as a trade, and sometimes once every 2 years. But Empowered by Adam Warren, it's great stuff. It's a superhero whose costume falls apart all the time, and her power is in this. The power is in this, the costume. So when the costume is intact, she's super strong and she has all these powers. But as it's really easy to rip. So as soon as she gets somebody just touches her, it rips and stuff. And then she loses all her powers and she gets abducted. So yeah, it's a fun title. It's a comedy title, but it's great. It's awesome.
Check that out.
Dark Horse is one of my favorite publishing companies, and not just because you know they've set up this interview and stuff. I really do like a lot of stuff that comes out of Dark Horse.
Yeah. No, we're talking about them now because we like them. So yeah, for sure. But we better move on here before like we're losing the you know. I just have this thing, when you start to get really geeky and there's a pretty girl around, she's like, she starts rolling her eyes and it's like, why do I hang out with these nerds? And I kind of see Corinne doing that right now. So
never.
We're going to kind of move on here.
No, you know, if she gets bored, she can play a game.
Whatever. You want to talk about a nerd. I have a nerdy stuff.
That's okay. I got something to get her attention.
Dirty laundry and shameful secrets. Announcements and new releases. What will we find in the metal news?
Okay. First and foremost, good news. We're going to start the metal news off with some really good stuff. The last little while, I'd really been pushing the youcaring.com to contribute to the health and welfare of one Mike Williams from I Hate God, with all of his health problems that he was having, needing a liver transplant and all that. Well, apparently the man, you know, asking ye shall receive, the metal gods were merciful to the Williams household, and he has received his transplant. And looks like he is going to be on the road to recovery. Now, the Williams house is still, you know, they're still hit with a ton of medical bills. So, you know, youcaring.com, if you still want to contribute, please do. We really appreciate it. And I just want to say right now, okay, Mr. Williams, you were given a second chance. Okay, use it wisely, please. Okay, I'm not Mr. Straight Edge. I'm not going to go on and give a big lecture about the horrors of alcohol because I imbibe myself once in a while and all that. But, you know, second chance, my friend, do something with it. Please. The Max and Igor Cavalera are going to be going on tour. Now, they're not calling themselves the Cavalera Conspiracy. I don't believe they're just going out as Max and Igor on the Return to Roots tour throughout February, where I believe they are going to be doing all, I think, the Roots record.
In
the whole thing, a night with the Cavalera, although they are going to be really, really cool support acts with Immolation and Full of Hell as well. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's awesome. Immolation is also going to be pushing their new record that's going to be coming out at the end of February around the same time. Atonement. Going to be looking forward to that because they're a great band.
Yes.
They're a great band. And if you're a little more on the heavier side and you might like, the Roots record, that was when Sepultura was doing their new metal and blah, 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 and I'm so cavalt and true and all, and I can't listen to anything outside of that. Go for Immolation and Full of Hell, and then stay for Roots for sure. Yeah. For sure. I want to get Full of Hell on this show and all that because we've had Immolation on, we've had Max Cavalera on. It's definitely time. Yeah. Okay, you know how bands split. And they all seem to think that, oh, I have the rights to this name or I can do this. And, there's different versions of LA Guns and different Rats and well, it's kind of made its way into the death metal world because Morbid Angel's David Vincent has decided, you know, the heck with this country crap. I've had enough. or it just didn't work for him, and he's decided to get back into the death metal racket. Okay. He's bringing along with him ex-Morbid Angel drummer Tim Young as well for a band called I Am Morbid.
Okay,
now it's basically, it's like they can't call themselves Morbid Angel, okay, but they took that from, you know, the song I Am Morbid from their, you know, that industrial record, which I don't even remember the name of it. So off the top of my head, which is kind of weird because they're doing old Morbid Angel songs from the first four or five records. Okay, like the glory days of Morbid Angel, but they're naming themselves off of that record that almost killed the band.
That doesn't matter, Snowy. It's just a cool name.
And it's a name
that's reminiscent of Morbid Angel, so it doesn't matter where it comes from. It's just a cool name.
Well, I know. I understand, and I understand why he did it. And you're absolutely right. It's just I found that kind of, that's interesting.
So is there a band out there just called Morbid?
Oh, there has been one in the past, yeah. Okay, and
so
I imagine there's...
they're not just calling themselves Morbid.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that.
Because I know for a fact, nobody's ever been called I Am Morbid, so...
Not yet. So I would check this band. Like, I don't think they're going to be recording anything. I think it's just going to be a touring thing and all that. And that's fine. Like, I'm kind of not big on nostalgia acts, but is there real nostalgia for Morbid Angel? Like, do you think? Like, rock?
I couldn't tell you because I never got into it. I got into death metal after they were really in their heyday, so I don't know.
Okay, because just death metal in general, like when I think of nostalgia, I think of, you know, stuff from the 80s, which death metal does come from. Yeah, I get that, but I just don't see Possessed as a nostalgia act. I don't see Deicide as a nostalgia act, although Deicide are still recording stuff.
Deicide, they're still recording, so they're not Possessed until they do put out a new album. They've been threatening us with a new one for a while now, since we did the album Autopsy with Jeff Becerra and Randy Burns. They were talking about maybe doing something together again. We haven't heard anything, so yeah, to me, Possessed is a nostalgia band. Yes, definitely.
Okay. Because maybe that's just me, but I just, when I think nostalgia, I think of more mainstream stuff. And I have no rhyme and reason for that.
Because it makes no sense, because it's an old band. So if an old band is playing their old songs, it's nostalgia. It doesn't matter what style.
I know. Yeah, you're right. All right. Kareen, what's your idea of a nostalgic metal band?
Like something from the past?
Yeah, just... You know, like we would have our nostalgia.
Do you have examples of bands that to you are a nostalgia band?
Yeah.
I mean, no, not really, because I don't think I've hit that peak yet.
No, but like...
I'm serious.
Okay.
Yeah,
no, I was just thinking...
You know
about Kiss, you know about Slayer, you know about... Any of those hit you as a nostalgia band?
Probably Slayer, most definitely.
Even if they're putting out new music?
Because it's like rock classics. Like they're probably going to have a segment, and I'm not saying maybe somebody's going to grab this idea, but there's definitely going to be like a metal classic station. I guarantee it. Like in the next 10 years, you're going to hear, you know how they have like classic rock, soft rock. There's going to be metal classics.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that. I think Sirius has a channel like that, but yeah, not on terrestrial radio. Not yet. Anyway.
Definitely not up in this market now.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I just don't see that. No. And finally for the news, this was bound to happen, and I'm really not surprised. I'm really surprised that it hasn't happened a lot sooner. You are familiar with the band Isis?
Yes.
Does that band? Yeah, I'm not too familiar with the music. I know who they are and what they're all about and all that. One of their fans had their PayPal account suspended just a couple days ago now, I believe, as I speak, for ordering an ISIS t-shirt and using PayPal. And I think we all kind of know why.
Yeah.
There was no research done on PayPal's account, there's just no research on PayPal's part, you know, he's ordering an ISIS t-shirt. Like, do you really think that the terrorist organization is making merch?
Okay. You know how I am with these things. Okay. You know how my mind works. Okay. Uh-huh. PayPal has, a lot of it, it's all automated. They don't have somebody looking at every transaction. So they probably have something that scans words, keywords, and then they see ISIS. Ah, woo, wow, stop. You know, and then that's it. They didn't look at see what it was. They didn't see, what it was for, who was ordering from who. They just saw the word ISIS and say, okay, put the kibosh on this, and that's it. They didn't, PayPal's a huge fucking company. Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't supposed to swear, but it's a huge big company. So, they're not going to look at every transaction that closely. They see a keyword and they, I'm sure it happens more than you think. You know, it's just, it so happens it happened to the metal band that's legitimate and that, they have nothing to do with ISIS. So.
Well, I would certainly hope when you said automated and computer and all that, I would certainly hope it was for that reason, and this individual would get his account back up when they realize. Oh,
he's going to have to call them and talk to them and probably convince them and let them. It's probably going to take a while, but I'm sure he'll get it back. But the band ISIS, it's not their fault. They had their name before everything started happening, and plus I think their band name is not even based off the terrorists, it's based off the goddess ISIS.
when I see ISIS, I don't even think the goddess, I think the superheroine.
When we were kids, the 70s, the Saturday morning show. Yeah, exactly, me too. I used to love that show.
The live action series as well. Yes, ISIS, she helped me into puberty, for sure.
We go that far, but okay.
Oh my god. I really needed to know that.
She's no Linda Carter,
She's right up there with Wonder Woman and Princess Leia. Yeah. I want to thank Lee Aaron for all of her help too as well. Yeah.
Oh Jesus.
That's it for the metal news, probably mercifully.
Yes.
Probably mercifully. How are we for time? Do we got an indie spotlight here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, cool, because I want to go all of A to Sweden.
Sweden.
Okay, gotta go to Sweden, eh?
Hey.
Yes, I was a very Swedish Canadian, eh? Because just through the course of my week, I stumbled upon a real cool hardcore grind crust band, whatever you want to call them. They're called Arrogant State. And it's like, I gave this a listen. It's like, okay, this is really cool. So we're going to give them a shot. So without further ado, in this week's Indie Spotlight, all the way from Sweden, this is Arrogant State.
It's a war.
That is not one, but two real cool tracks from Sweden's Arrogant State with Illusions of Wealth and Prophets of War. Go and check them out right now on facebook.com/arrogant state. And those tunes are available right now on bandcamp.com. Go check them out and throw them a couple bucks as well for those tracks now, because it really deserves it.
May I say something?
Sure.
Okay. When you're looking this up online, people, don't do like I did. It's profit like in money, you know, not profit as Muhammad the prophet, because if you search for like a prophet, like Muhammad the prophet of war, an arrogant state, you will get some gnarly shit.
No doubt.
So it's profit.
Profits,
like,
yes.
Like the money.
Yeah. Or just make it easy on yourself. Look up Arrogant State Grind Band.
There you go.
That's easy enough. Well, my friends, thank you once again. This week has been absolutely fantastic. Yes. And just a friendly reminder to everyone as we get on out of here next week. Does everyone have their Rammy Awards?
Yes.
Have you been thinking about it? Has it been going through your little brains and all that?
I've been ready for weeks. Okay, good.
Yeah, I got a couple categories I'm still not 100% on. I got to decide. But that's okay. I got a week to come up with all the rest. So In the meantime and in between time, that's it. This was twas the week before Rammy's episode of Radioactive Metal. Oh, before we go out, what are we going to go out on?
We're going to go out on some Metalocalypse just because we can, and John Schnepp put a lot of work into it, and it's Metalocalypse is awesome.
Right on. Snowy White.
This is Rock.
And I'm Corrine.
Signing off.
This is Death Clock.
Death Clock, Death Clock. We'll be right back.
visit us at radioactivemetal.org or go to iTunes for past episodes and write a review. Listen to us live every Thursday on PureRockRadio.net. Come follow us on Spreaker.com, Stitcher.com, and TuneIn.com. You can purchase the music featured in this episode by going to RadioactiveMetal.org and clicking on the episode link. Leave us a voicemail. We'd love to hear from you. Call 321-80-HEAVY or 321-804-3289. Email us at radmetal666@gmail.com with suggestions or for indie spotlight submissions. Find us at facebook.com/radmetal and twitter.com/radmetal666. Help us keep the lights on. Buy a t-shirt at radioactivemetal.bigcartel.com. Free shipping in the USA. This has been a presentation of Radioactive Metal. It's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.